we're really aiming to do is to improve the lives of as many farm animals as possible. So we're creating standards that they not only need to improve farm animal welfare, but also they need to be achievable and, in essence, commercially viable, because there's no point having a set of standards that essentially no one can meet.
Hello and welcome to RSPCA Australia's Humane Food Podcast Series. My name is Brian Daly, and today I'm pleased to welcome Hope Bertram, the Humane Food Manager at RSPCA, back into the studio to talk about the amazing work she does with the RSPCA's approved farming scheme. Welcome back, Hope.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Now, I've been fortunate enough to visit a few of these farms over the years, as you know, and I've seen the improvements for myself. But for those unfamiliar with it, tell us what the RSPCA's approved farming scheme is all about.
Sure. So the RSPCA, we do a lot of work with farm animals, so probably best known for our work with cats and dogs. But for a number of years, we've been looking at practical solutions to improve farm animal welfare. And the approved farming scheme is certainly that. So we developed the scheme around 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially a certification program where we have our own farming standards. So farmers and producers in the industry can join the scheme. So those standards go above and beyond what's required by law.
Yes.
They're, I guess, a very holistic approach to improving farm animal welfare. So, yeah, a bit of bedtime reading in that document if you wanted to read more. The standards are publicly available. And really, it's about creating, I guess, a program that we can vouch for those standards and we go to farm and assess against those standards.
So the standards go above the legislation, the law. What sort of improvements are you making to improve the lives of the animals?
So the RSPCA Approved Farming Scheme standards offer commercially feasible standards to industry for different species. So we have six different species covered under the standards. So layer hens, meat chickens, pigs, turkeys, farmed Atlantic salmon,
okay.
Which is one of our more recent standards, mm-hmm. and also dairy veal. So the standards themselves, they take into account RSPCA Australia policy. They're underpinned by the principles of the five freedoms. They also take into account what's commercially feasible in Australia today. And at the heart of the scheme, you know, what we're really aiming to do is to improve the lives of as many farm animals as possible. So we're creating standards that they not only need to improve farm animal welfare, but also they need to be achievable and, in essence, commercially viable, because there's no point having a set of standards that essentially no one can meet.
Yes. And we do consume a lot of farm animals, a lot of meat in Australia. So you are talking large-scale commercial farming operations, but looking to improve the conditions for the animals in those schemes.
Yeah, so the species that we have under the scheme at the moment are the most intensively farmed animals in Australia. So not only of the greatest number, but also where we can make the greatest improvement to their welfare.
Yep.
So, you know, an example of what we think is good welfare would be no intensive confinement for pigs. Mm-hmm. So in Australia, it's still legal to confine pigs to sow stalls, which is when they're pregnant, and then when they have their piglets, they're put into another intensive confinement system called a farrowing crate. Mm. But in the approved farming scheme, we don't allow either of those types of housing.
Yes.
We focus on creating for a housing environment that lets pigs do the things they like to do. So yes. For a sow, it's about building a nest, mm-hmm. having her piglets, being able to move away and have the space that she needs to be able to display those natural behaviours.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, besides just the housing side of things, the standards also focus on, you know, some of the routine, I guess, farm practices that are carried out in Australian production. So another example for pigs is, you know, teeth clipping and tail docking are routine practices in the conventional pork industry.
Yes.
And we don't allow those kind of practices under our standards. So, yeah, the standards are, I guess, quite robust in terms of the areas of production that they cover and go through from birth through to slaughter.
Mm-hmm. And so they're looked at from what we can improve for as many of these animals as possible in these large production systems, but is still commercially viable.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that farming to better welfare standards costs more. Yes. So to meet an RSPCA standard, there's most likely less animals farmed than what you could do in a conventional farming system or what's allowed under the law. So we have lower stocking densities. There's also a higher cost input for, you know, stock personship and handling procedures and monitoring animals more frequently and things such as enrichment. So it costs farmers more to buy straw and enrichment and bedding for an RSPCA approved farm. And, you know, we'd really love to see that recognised at the price point. So our message to consumers is higher welfare costs more and, you know, consumers should be prepared to pay for it.
Mm. But it seems to be improving standards. You know, I've visited a few of those farms in Western Australia where they're growing these approved farming scheme pork products. And talking to the farmers there, their rates of production, they said they can get pretty close to those on an intensive farm. So it seems that it is a workable solution that you're getting there in those situations?
Yeah, look, while there are certainly some, I guess, financial challenges around meeting a better standard, a well-run production system can see those returns. And I guess at the heart of the standards about not only raising the bar and the focus on animal welfare, but, you know, we want to create a practical solution for farmers and for it to remain, you know, to make good business sense for them. And then at the other end, create the demand for it around consumer awareness and encouraging consumers to look for a more humanely farmed product when, you know, either at the supermarket or when they're eating out.
Talking about the commercial viability, how's the licensing scheme for the approved farming scheme? How's it funded?
So the approved farming scheme's not for profit and it's not funded by donations to the RSPCA. It's actually funded by fees paid by licensees that are part of the scheme. So they are the brands that choose to source RSPCA-approved products and they have a licensing agreement with RSPCA Australia and that entitles them to actually market those products as RSPCA-approved.
Yes.
So those fees from licensees are quarantined and they're used for the approved farming scheme.
Yes.
They need to channel back into assessment costs.
Yeah.
It is a costly exercise for us to go to farm as often as we do during the course of the year. Some of these farms aren't easily accessible and they're all over the country. So those fees need to make sure that our out-of-pocket expenses are covered for assessing. They also contribute to the review of the standards. So the standards get reviewed every 5 years and that's an opportunity for us to review the science, review what's happening commercially in Australia, again, raise the bar where we can and make that incremental improvement to animal welfare and also contribute to the marketing of the scheme and making sure consumers understand what the approved farming scheme is all about.
Yeah. And the approved farming scheme logo is very recognisable these days. Woolworths and Coles both use it for their high welfare product. You've seen a big uptake on that and an understanding amongst consumers about what that mark means?
So, with the scheme starting a couple of decades ago now, probably over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, we have seen more of a shift and more interest in, I guess, that connection between paddock to plate and people wanting to know more about where their food comes from. I think there's also this kind of minefield of labels and consumers not being too sure about what those claims mean. So consumers are wanting to pick up a product and know that it ticks the box for animal welfare. And, you know, it's core to the RSPCA's role in Australia around our focus on improving welfare, whether it be for cats and dogs or indeed for farm animals and the work we do in this space. So we've had major retailers in Australia adopt our standards. Coles have been a long-time supporter of RSPCA-approved standards across multiple products.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first retailer in Australia to take on board our meat chicken standards and have all of their own private label meat chicken switch to be RSPCA-approved.
Mm-hmm.
Woolworths followed. And so between those two, it has made an enormous difference
Yes.
to the plight of meat chickens in Australia. And we're seeing that on the ground today with, you know, millions of meat chickens farmed to better standards.
And they're reduced stocking densities and they have perches and better litter management, that sort of thing. And we're not just talking free range, are we?
Yeah, so under the RSPCA standards across the different species we have, you know, we think you can have good welfare in different housing environments. So free range is essentially a marketing term. It's it doesn't necessarily mean good welfare. You can have some really good free range systems, and you can have some ones that you know, probably have some ways to improve. So we think you can farm animals in an indoor environment, but really it's about, well, what does that indoor environment look like? Does it cater for those animals' needs? In the case of meat chickens, the vast majority of meat chickens in Australia are farmed indoors. And, you know, we're proud to say we do work with a large number of Australian farms now that farm to the RSPCA's meat chicken standards. And, yeah, there's a whole host of factors that they need to have good welfare. So one is stocking density, better light, so encouraging birds to be more active and move more often in the shed. Yes. Perching is really important, so that helps develop, you know, leg strength, muscle density. It helps birds to be more active. And, you know, now that under the RSPCA standards there are perches inside a meat chicken shed, it's not surprising that meat chickens like to perch. So that's, you know, been a really, I guess, simple measure that is catering for those birds', you know, natural needs.
Yes, and it's, as you say, it's very simple and practical. And but there's millions of these individual animals now who are having a better life in those situations.
Yeah, and look, I guess, yeah, adding a perch to meat chicken sheds, it does sound very simple, but there are also complexities there. So the type of perching, we work with some very large-scale farming systems. The objective of the scheme is to have as many animals farmed to the standards as possible, so they're not niche boutique farming enterprises. And to allow for the type of perching and the amount of perching that we require, sometimes it, you know, it does take a lot of work in planning and working out how that's going to be achieved in the types of shed structures. So perching is one thing. A really important thing for the welfare of meat chickens is actually what their flooring is. So we call it litter. And the litter might be made up of rice shavings, wood shavings, different sort of substrates. And it's really important that litter is kept in a really good condition, because it can lead to a whole host of other welfare issues. So when birds are sitting in litter that isn't well kept, it can lead to things like breast blisters and hock burns, more ammonia in the shed, so it can lead to respiratory issues and blindness. So I guess, yeah, at the heart of the standards is really a holistic approach to improving their welfare.
Yeah. And you mentioned before about farmed Atlantic salmon. That's a new area of the standards there. It's it might make people sit up to think that there's a standard for farming fish.
Yeah. I think, look, historically the RSPCA probably hasn't spent a lot of time talking about fish welfare. Yeah. But we certainly know, you know, and the science indicates that fish feel pain. Mm-hmm. And the farmed fish industry is a growing industry. Mm-hmm. In Australia. Consumption of salmon is growing. And, you know, we recognise that, again, coming back to what the scheme is about, it's looking at ways to improve welfare for multiple species. So we developed farmed Atlantic salmon standards, and some of those, I guess, key elements to those standards relate to water quality, oxygen levels, you know, making sure the fish can, again, exhibit those natural behaviours, so natural schooling behaviours. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, handling of the fish. You know, I was really surprised to learn of the life cycle of farmed Atlantic salmon. You know, they actually live for about 3 years, quite different to some of the other species that we've worked with. So, you know, it's been a really interesting journey, sort of understanding more about production and how we can improve welfare of farmed fish in Australia.
Yeah. And are there plans to develop standards for other species?
Yeah, look, I think we're doing our best at focusing on the six species that we have. So we have the standards themselves, and then we have the compliance program that you know, underpins farming to those standards. So a really important element of the approved farming scheme is going to farm as often as we can. Mm-hmm. So we go to farm at a minimum twice a year to assess against those standards. and we have assessors in the field across the country, you know, visiting farms today to assess against them. So it's a really big job, but we think because of the life cycle of animals and how many animals are farmed, it's really important that we see them as often as we can.
Yes.
We may look at some other species in time. We've certainly had interest from some other sectors, such as the beef and sheep meat industry. Mm-hmm. They are more extensive production systems. However, there's still, you know, certainly some animal welfare concerns and things that we could address there. So, yeah, I think it's watch this space.
Yeah. But as you say, it's a big job just to make sure that the compliance and the assessment is done, because that's what gives the consumers confidence that what they're seeing in the products in the supermarket has been covered and assessed all the way through the production process.
Yeah, and you know, for meat chickens as an example, I mean, meat chickens in Australia live relatively short lives,
yes.
So sort of around 35 to 40 days. Mm-hmm. So on an average meat chicken farm over the course of a year, there might be 6 batches of birds in those sheds. So we really want to see as many, cycles as we can and batches and flocks placed,
yes.
And assess against the standards. And yeah, you know, I guess a key aspect of the approved farming scheme is that trying to get to assess against those standards on farm as much as we practically can.
Mm. And as you say, it's a really big job, because there's a lot of chicken eaten in Australia. It's the most consumed meat in Australia these days. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's around 45 kilos a person and rising. So That is a lot of meat chickens farmed in Australia each year to supply that consumer demand.
And you assess them, you're saying, at least twice a year. It's a bit more in the first year, and are there spot checks as well?
Yeah, so our compliance program is we assess all meat chicken farms, or all poultry farms actually, under the scheme 4 times in the first 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
If compliance is tracking along well, that might get reduced down to twice a year in subsequent years. And then, yeah, we may also do some unscheduled assessments in addition to those routine ones. We also have data coming through, so we require some reporting back to our team. We have assessors out in the field assessing against those standards and visiting those farms to meet that assessment schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a small team of compliance officers that work in our office and essentially are another level of technical review. So they also look at some of those farm reports to monitor that the standards are being met.
There are some that would say, well, you're working with these farmers to encourage meat consumption, and say, why is RSPCA involved in this side of things? But really it's a pragmatic approach to what's actually happening now, and farming is happening, so you need to jump in and make sure try and raise the standards where possible. Is that the outlook that you guys take?
Yeah, I mean, the RSPCA's view is while animals are farmed for food or fibre, we have a role to play to improve their welfare. So we're not advocating for people to consume meat or eggs. However, if they do, we want people to make a more humane choice and, you know, to vote with their wallet and pick up, you know, cage-free eggs over cage eggs, and to go even better than that, to pick up an RSPCA-approved product to be sure that it ticks the box for animal welfare.
And I'm seeing the approved farming scheme symbol on not just in the supermarket but places like Grilled and other restaurant chains. So it seems to be making quite an impact and be regarded quite well by consumers.
Yeah, I think, you know, in light of quite a confusing landscape of food labels, labelling terms, people not quite sure what this means. You know, the RSPCA-approved logo does convey to consumers that this is a program focused on improving farm animal welfare.
Mm.
We're not claiming to, I guess, be a program focused on environmental conditions or health conditions. We see our remit as animal welfare, and that's at the crux of the standards. So, yeah, we've had early adoption of the standards from retailers in Australia, and, you know, it's really great to see that that's now spreading, you know, into food service, and people, you know, can pick up an RSPCA-approved product when they're shopping but also when they're eating out.
Yeah, it seems to be a really growing area that people are taking interest in. And as you say, it's all focused on animal welfare. It's not an organic farming assessment scheme or anything like that.
Organic essentially relates to what the animals are fed. So no, the under the approved farming scheme standards, it's not a requirement that feed is organic. Depending on what organic standards you were meeting, animal welfare, plays into some of those independent organic standards more so than others. Mm. Really, it's about creating a farming system that allows for animals to express their natural behaviours and monitoring those farming systems as often as we can.
Yeah, you were saying before about so many labels to wade through and understand in the supermarkets these days. There's a lot of, I guess, misinformation or some myths around how farming practices are done these days in Australia, like around, growth hormones or antibiotics, things like that. Can you tell us a bit about those myths and maybe debunk a couple of them?
Sure.
and where the approved farming scheme sits on those?
Sure. So, it is a bit of a minefield with some of those labels, and I can completely understand sort of perplexed looks in the egg aisle, which one should I buy? I think a really simple one for meat chickens is people's views that hormones are used in the meat chicken industry, which they haven't been used in Australia for, I think, more than 40 years. So it doesn't help to continually see hormone-free on packets of meat chicken, nor does it help to see cage-free on packets of meat chicken. Another myth that, people might not be aware that, meat chickens in Australia aren't farmed in cages. Yeah. Very different, however, to layer hens. Mm. Layer hens that produce eggs, there's still 11 million hens in cages. However, they're not the chickens that are also grown out for their meat. So, I can completely understand confusion around labelling. And in terms of how it relates to the approved farming scheme, we don't necessarily have a focus on, I guess, labelling production systems. So we have indoor standards, and what we make sure is if products are farmed to our indoor standards, that it's clear that they're farmed inside sheds, and products will talk about that. If they're farmed to our outdoor standards, then those products could be labelled as free range, and there are particular requirements under our standards that those animals have to have in that outdoor environment. We don't necessarily think one is better than the other. What we approach this as animals need these key things to have a better quality of life, and they can be achieved in different production systems. In terms of other labels, there is more talk amongst consumers and also the farming industry around antibiotic use. And what we'd really like to see, and part of the RSPCA proof standards, is having a plan around reducing antibiotic use. So we refer to that as an antimicrobial stewardship plan. And what we want to see is more farming industries look at how they can improve the health of birds without a reliance on in-feed antibiotics.
Okay.
There are a lot of discussions around, do those antibiotics go into the, human food chain when products consumed? And it's not necessarily the case in Australia, because there are withdrawal periods or withholding periods where they don't enter the human food chain. However, I think there is something to be explored around, well, what's the housing system and that, I guess, holistic approach to better farming that can lead to health improvements and less of a reliance on in-feed antibiotics.
So when you say in-feed antibiotics, that's just giving antibiotics to the whole flock?
Yeah, so there might be particular types of antibiotics that are fed to the birds in their feed that might prevent certain illnesses. Okay. So I guess they could be used as more of a preventative measure. And what we'd like to see is, obviously, if birds become ill, then, that therapeutic use of antibiotics is important to make sure that the birds don't continue to be sick, as opposed to routinely feeding antibiotics, which, we'd certainly like to see a reduction of that and to look at, what are some of the ways that flock could be improved through the actual housing conditions and stock personship of those birds.
The growth hormones haven't been used in chickens for 40 years or so. Are they used anywhere else in the industry?
Yeah, so it is, a bit of a myth that growth hormones are used in the meat chicken industry. They're not. But hormones may be used in other species. For example, they might be used in the beef cattle industry.
Okay.
I guess from the RSPCA's position, it's not necessarily an area of focus from a welfare perspective. So while there may be some concerns around a reliance of hormones, our concern is focused on, what are the, housing conditions and husbandry conditions that those animals are farmed to, and looking at practical ways to improve standards on farm and a better quality of life for those animals.
So you develop these standards. You said you review them every 5 years and you implement them. You must work very closely with the farmers on introducing standards or making standards that they can implement within their own system.
Yeah, so reviewing the standards is, it's a really important exercise, not only to improve animal welfare, but also to understand what's happening on the ground and what might be achievable in Australia today. So the consultation process is pretty extensive. You can imagine, with a number of different farmers meeting the standards on the ground today, they would want to know, what's around the corner tomorrow. So that consultation process can really take some time. A variety of stakeholders are involved, from, animal welfare science to peak industry bodies to companies that might process chicken to the growers on the ground that actually farm to those standards. And, it's a lengthy process, but a really important one for us to actually raise the bar and look at that incremental improvement and what we can sustain over time to make sure that, there's a tipping point. It's important to raise the bar and continue on that animal welfare journey, but not to the detriment of having animals under the scheme, because, we don't want farmers and producers to drop out and not be able to farm to the standards anymore. So it's a bit of a balancing act. Our science team at RSPCA Australia works through that standards review process. And then when the standards are finished and ready for, in their final form, they'll go out to industry and we'll communicate those to industry and give people the timeframes of when we expect those standards to be implemented.
Yeah. And I guess you can support the farmers that want to farm to a higher standard and to differentiate their product, I guess, on that.
Yeah, and we've had the scheme for a couple of decades now, and we've had some really early adopters of better farming standards. So, some of the layer hen producers we've worked with for well over a decade, probably quite ahead of their time in terms of recognising a space for better welfare and wanting to meet an independent standard. That does come at a cost. So, there's less birds that they're farming, but there's greater production inputs of having to meet the standards. And, take my hat off to farmers out there that are going above and beyond what they need to do to meet their basic requirements. So, we have a whole host of farmers across the country that farm to our standards, that are farming different species, whether it be from farmed Atlantic salmon to meat chickens. And, we work really closely with them to keep encouraging them and ultimately to find a market as well for them, for consumers that want to support their product.
It sounds like a great system to improve the lives of, as you said, over a billion
1.6
billion farm animals have had their lives improved by these standards. So that must feel good to know that in some areas things are changing for the better.
It does feel really good. Reflecting back on where we've come from, and particularly in the last 5 to 10 years, the uptake of the standards from industry and farmers on the ground, and then also retailers, brands, and ultimately consumers wanting to support the product. It's a good place for animal welfare in Australia, and I think it can only get better.
Well, thanks, Hope. Thanks for taking us through the details of the RSPCA's approved farming scheme. And thank you for listening. If you'd like any more information about today's topic, you could visit the RSPCA approved website at rspcaapproved.org.au. Or you can also subscribe to this podcast series at the RSPCA Australia website, rspca.org.au, or all the usual podcast suspects. I'm Brian Daly, and I look forward to your company next time on the RSPCA Australia Humane Food Podcast.